What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey, guys. Welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. Thank you guys for showing up. Today's Friday. Hope your week was a great one. And we're going to give you something to think about today. It's one thing to get patients in your practice. It's another thing to retain them. You got to have a great system for that. And today we're going to challenge you with how to rethink retention. You also have to turn these patients into advocates. Easier said than done. Well, we did a presentation recently with Miranda Beeson and myself, which addressed both of these. And it was so good, I thought, let's share it on the podcast. So here's the audio version of that presentation. Please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this. And please enjoy your weekend. We'll see you soon. All right. So for those of you that are here for the first time, welcome. For those of you who haven't been here before, welcome back. We're always excited to put the ACT Dental, Smile Source, BPA, and dental community at large together for all of these things. Now, I'll just start with this. Like, you might be thinking, if I'm here for the first time, what is this all about? Part of what we do, well, actually, most of what we do is we help people create a better practice and a better life. So we're practice coaches. And so Miranda, who is an amazing human being, one of our amazing coaches here, but she's also the director of education and on our leadership team, pays very close attention to what is happening with our clients and some of the questions that we get inside the BPA. And so she develops the content for us to be able to solve the problems that you guys have. And this one is very, very important. So we coach a lot of practices all over the country who aren't necessarily broken. They're actually great practices. And they struggle with a lot of the same things that you do. And retention is a big one. So we're gonna help you rethink retention today, turning patients into advocates. And we'll explain what that means here shortly. So if you're on, congratulations. Today's going to be a great day. And you can share these if you're inside the BPA with your team members, which I'm going to highly encourage you to do. Because we love this stuff and we're going to bring it today. But the hard part is getting everyone aligned around you in your practice about how do we do this? So here's how this works. We only really do three things for the most part when it comes to helping people create a better practice and better life. And a lot of you, most of you are already in the Best Practices Association. So we're continuing to build the Best Practices Association. I always dreamed of a place where we could have, you know, connection inside of a community, add some great CE, some of the best thinkers. And so we actually have an app now. It's called the Best Practices Association. You can start the journey for free and you can do it on your own. You can say, hey, listen, I want to see what this is all about. You can go back there and ask questions. And that is level one. Level two is you can say, hey, listen, I've tried to do it on my own. I need some help. And I would highly encourage that you never do something on your own. You always do it in a group. And you can do that with the To the Top Study Club, which is one of my favorite things ever. So quarterly, we meet in person here in Milwaukee at our headquarters. And we're constantly developing the curriculum. Miranda takes the lead on that. And we put entrepreneurs with other entrepreneurs. And it's my favorite thing. It's one of my favorite things because I get to learn for a whole day. While we present the content, I also get to learn, like, what are some of the best dentists in the country doing? So it's pretty cool in a collaborative environment. You can join us. And at the end of today's webinar, I'll show you an opportunity where you can join us for free. It's called the Golden Ticket. And then lastly, if you've tried everything, you're like, I've tried everything. I don't have time to think about this. You can hire an amazing coach like Miranda or the other coaches that we have, and it's our pro coaching program. That's our bread and butter. And again, our job is to help you think better about your practice and your life. So cool. Anything else you want to add, Miranda, before we roll?
It's the place to be. So if you're not there, you're square, or be there or be square, whatever people say.
Ooh, I like that. So
I did put it in the chat. I put the link to the BPA and our website page that talks about TTT if you want to learn more about that. So
yeah,
check that out.
I'm not kidding. Every single week we have meetings about how we make this better, how we improve the process. It's not one of those things we just set it and forget it. We are actively working on how do we create a better experience. So I invite you on this journey to improve your practice and your life. Now, today, August 28th is when we're doing this. We're going to rethink retention and turn patients into advocates. And I'm going to start with a big phrase that I always use in the To the Top Study Club. And it starts with this. It's your problems aren't your problems. They're how you think about your problems. A lot of times, myself included, almost every problem I have, I can see the problem, I'm experiencing the problem, but I have to think about the problem. And what I'm going to encourage you to do today is just like, let's rethink how we attack retention or the process or how we look at it. And that's what today's about. And it's important. We always start with the why, you know, because long term, it is just not enough to retain patients. You have to create an experience and turn them into advocates who stay loyal. They refer others. You already know this. If 31 years of doing this, I keep saying that, but I'm like the old guy here. Like all of your best patients come from other patients for the most part and become champions of your practice. And when your patients know they feel valued, they're known, they feel cared for, they're more likely to return, accept treatment, and share your name in the community. So, I just think this is going to get harder and harder and harder to market. Let me just say this. In 2025, we now have AI, and the amount of information that's coming at all of us is at lightning speed. And if you're familiar with what happened in Milwaukee, where I live, we just got flooded a couple weeks ago. Now, I'm not looking at social media, billboards. Every single person I know is going, who's the best you know? Who do you know? Who do you know? Like, we are leaning harder and harder into people we can trust. And I believe that's going to be the truth for most every business, especially dentistry in the future. And trust is going to be your number one currency. And a lot of it has to do with these processes and how you think about them. So rethinking retention is about going way beyond. Like, you might think, well, it's our ReCare system. No, it's not. It's bigger than that. We're going to go way beyond that today. It's about building that trust and connection at every touch point. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, I don't have time for this. I'm moving too fast. My question to you is this relational or is this transactional? Because if it's just transactional, everyone can feel it. You can feel it when you go into another business. I love more than anything when I walk into a business and somebody knows me. I'm like, they're like, you're back. I mean, as simple as it is, Starbucks, they all know my name there. And I love it. Morning, Kirk. Like, it's hard for me to go somewhere else because I love those guys, you know? High patient turnover leads to waste in marketing dollars and unstable revenue. It just does. And so we got to learn how to keep the right type of patients. And when patients don't feel connected, they quietly leave, like you don't hear from them, without ever giving feedback. They just disappear. And they're afraid to tell you that, I don't want to come back to your practice because the person up front didn't know me. You guys don't even care, blah, blah, blah. Loyal patients refer like-minded people. Avatars attract avatars. If you've been doing this for a long time, you already know that it works because somebody comes in your office, they go, all right, I know how this works. I hear you're really good. I hear you're really expensive. You're going to help me with my insurance, but you're not going to take it as full payment, blah, 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 blah. And you're like, yeah, come on back. Nice to meet you, type of a thing. So let's start the process of how we rethink new patients. Every practice needs new patients. Yes, you should always have new patients, but we have to rethink the emphasis we put on needing new patients. Somebody always tells you, and I get these all the time. People are like, I get 100 new patients a month. And I'm like, oh gosh, where is this going? That sounds terrible. It just does. You know, you have a certain number of new patients that are the right number for your practice. And yes, you should always be thinking about how we get those into the practice. But sometimes new patients are the worst. some of the practices that we see, they get 100, 200 new patients a month, which isn't the ideal client for us. These patients are terrible. They don't know anything about the practice. They don't show up for their appointments, and it all becomes more and more and more. Miranda, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I just wanted to share a piece around new patients as you get started on this is there is so much time, effort, money, energy spent in dental offices towards acquiring new patients. The number of times that we talk about new patients more than we talk about our existing patients is significant. And so it's important when we're going to have a webinar talking about patient retention that we also do talk about new patients because we're not saying you don't need them. But before we lean into the importance of our existing patients keeping our practice healthy, we want to spend just a minute talking about when, like what you just said. If we have all these new patients in our practice, 50 a month, whatever it is, 100 a month, it's almost like bragging rights. To some degree, I equate it to the same philosophy we have around gross production. I don't really care a whole lot about your new patient count if I'm coaching your practice. What I care about is your patient, your active patient count and your patient growth over time. And so what we're going to talk about for this first part is around rethinking new patients. Not like I need as many as possible. I need to say yes to every person that calls because like you said, then you end up with people in your practice you don't even really want in there. But how can we rethink how many new patients we actually need? And then how do we measure that or balance that with our existing patients and our retention of existing patients to make sure that we have a really healthy overall active patient count, not just healthy new patient count?
Yeah, I absolutely love what you said. And let me give you a kind of an end point of where we're going, because some of you might be thinking, well, I don't know how many new patients we have. We got all these ops under construction. Let me simplify this as much as possible. We coach a lot of different types of practices now, but typically, you know, the average dentist, the great practices that we coach. Now, you can extrapolate depending on how many providers you have, but let me give you kind of an end point. You only need 1,500 patients if you're a single doc practice and you have two hygienists. Okay, I want you to think about that. If you spend 30 years attracting, keeping, retaining, getting referrals from these 1,500, you're going to displace 17 to 19% of them. They're going to die, move away, blah, blah, blah. But if you can think, hey, 1,500, I'm going to show you a model here in a second that you can collect $2 million, or actually you can produce $2 million with 1,579 patients if you just use the framework that we're going to give you, and you can create an amazing practice. And then if you have a full-time hygienist and they actually see the patients two times a year, that equates to about 750 patients a year. Now that's give or take, that's not an exact model, but it gives you kind of a rough estimate of where you can go with this. And when you start to shoot for higher numbers, you need more chairs, you need more personnel, you just need more everything. So the two metrics that are going to help you rethink this today are these. These are key metrics to help you understand your new patient needs. APV, which is annual patient value. It's one of our favorite metrics here. And it's relatively new on the scene. I would say in the last 10 years, you know, we never looked at annual patient value in the past. It was always production and collections. And then net patient growth, which is another one. So let me explain a little bit about what that means. You get to pick how to practice in dentistry. Like there's no rules. So if you're a dentist listening to this or watching this, like you can do whatever you want. My encouragement to you is like pick the path that best suits you. You can go the low margin, high volume route. You can. You can just go after that market where you offer services at a lower profit margin, resulting in higher write-offs. You can participate with everything under the sun. You can have evening hours and weekends and all that kind of stuff. And I'm here to tell you, it can succeed. You just have to know what you're building. But you're going to do a lot of value or a lot of volume in that. Retention is going to be low in that market no matter what. Then you can choose to do the other route, which is high margins, low volume. And you can collect closer to 100%. And that's a fun way to go. It's usually one of our favorite, but neither one of them is wrong. And you can also do a combination of both. You can say, hey, listen, I want to do a combination. I want to do some of this and some of that. And you just have to know what you're building, because the worst thing to do is to build something and not know what you're building and try to figure it out later. And so the APV, this is really important. I encourage all of you to figure this out. You should figure it out today. It's actually quite easy. The annual patient value represents the average monetary value that your active patients contribute to your practice. So you think about it, you got all these patients. What is their value to the practice? Now, let me hear you. I want to say this carefully. People are not money. That's not the point. But of the people that you have that you would consider active patients, what is the value that each one of them on average brings to the practice? So here's how you calculate it. It's the sum of your total collections from the last rolling 12 months. So it's a rolling 12 months. Then you divide the 12-month rolling collections number by the number of active patients at the prior month's end. When you do that, you're going to have your APV, your annual patient value. I'm going to encourage you to have a regular conversation as a team around this, because as you make this more valuable to the practice, things change. I love this story. I share it all the time. But our coaches, when they're assigned a new practice, they often look at this one first, because they might be thinking, well, I got this cool new practice. Sounds like an amazing practice. I want to know about them. And then they'll peek at the APV, because the APV tells you a lot. If it's super high, you can see they're really good at relationships, probably have a really good profit margin. If it's super low, they do a lot of volume or they're struggling with retention. There's, you know, those numbers always tell some type of a story. And so if you're wondering, after you've calculated, like, how are we doing? We get these numbers from Dental Intel. And over 10,000 installs, this is where they stack up. So the top 10% of dentists, according to the Dental Intel information and practices, annual patient value is $1,103. Average is $644. And then the bottom 10% is $370. Now, wherever you're at, it's not bad. It's just your starting point. And you can actually fix your practice, improve retention and profitability if that goes up quarter over quarter. So we have a couple.
Well, Kirk, the other thing that shows up in your practice, and this is what I hear from clients, is as that APV goes up and you feel less and less busy and stressed throughout the day, your team starts to say, hey, are we okay? Like, I feel like we're kind of slow. Like, I feel like the schedule's been slow. I don't feel like we're, you know, running around like we usually do. And then the KPIs, or you look at your scorecard and you realize, whoa, like, we're making way more money in this practice than we ever have, but wait, but we feel slow. Like, that, it's almost hard for especially team members to really process that you can feel slow, but be doing better financially and from a productivity and efficiency standpoint. And so it's a little bit of a mindset shift for teams to get used to. And so when I hear teams share information like that, I just say, hey, let's just look at your annual patient value and what it was 3 years ago when you felt crazy, and what it is now. And then it's really clear right there on paper what it is that's making it feel that way for us. And no, we're totally fine. Like, we're a profitable practice, actually more than ever. And enjoy that, team member. Enjoy the lack of stress that you now have in your day-to-day life.
Yeah. I love that you said that. And I don't have this on a slide, but you know, the future of your life is about how you enjoy it. And time is the new rich. We say it all the time. And when you have a high APV, I'll tell you what's going on in your practice. People value you. They're usually using some type of discretionary dollar to pay for your dentistry. They're coming in the hours that you work. You know, it's a little bit of a slower pace. When the annual patient value is low, you're chasing everything. You're chasing evening hours. You're chasing whenever they can come in. You are at the mercy of your patients. Your patients make the rules. You don't make the rules. And that's no fun. And they refer other people that make the rules. You don't want that. So here's an example. Practice A, an annual patient value. Let's say their production goal is $2 million. Single doctor, two hygienists. You sit down with your team in December and you're like, hey guys, let's produce $2 million next year. Well, if your annual patient value is $646, you can do the math. You need 3,096 active patients in your schedule to reach that goal. That's a lot of patients. And so that's one way to look at it. Now, let's cross the tracks to practice B. And practice B has the same goal, same situation. It's actually the same town. It's just on the other side, you know, maybe I shouldn't say other side of the tracks, maybe other side of the street.
Right across the street.
Right across the street. Your buddy practices right across the street. You guys are friends and they have the same goal. But their annual patient value is $1,267. And if I had a nickel for all of the clients we coach that are in this category, I'd be a crazy wealthy man. Like, it's so much fun. Now, it's not about that, but you can see they're calm. They're relaxed. They know what they're doing. They feel good about dentistry. Their mindset is positive when they look at the future. Like, they actually believe dentistry is worthwhile and people want to pay for it. When it's low, people are like, nobody wants to pay for dentistry. I don't know if this is the greatest profession ever. So its circumstances are bigger than just its impact in the practice. So you can see in this circumstance, a $2 million production goal with this annual patient value, we only need 1,579 patients. Miranda.
Well, number one, that's almost half the patients. So yes. Imagine what the difference is. But I also wanted to sneak in really quickly. There was a question about the APV and if it's reported in Dental Intel or if it has to be done manually. So if you have Dental Intel, just FYI, yes, it does it for you. This is actually a screenshot of how it's reported on a dashboard in Dental Intel. It's on the collections dashboard within Dental Intelligence. However, if you don't have Dental Intelligence, yes, manual calculation is just as easy as what Kirk shared earlier. Run your 12 months rolling collection totals and then take your current active patient count and do that division and you've got your answer. But Dental Intelligence does it for you. This is a screenshot of exactly what it would look like. And when you're in Dental Intel, you hit that little bar graph that you can see in the corner of this image and it gives you a 90-day and a year over year. So you can see over time how that's changing for your practice and you can see the trends. You can tell, hey, when I started doing more comprehensive dentistry and building clear aligners into my practice 18 months ago, that's when we saw the shift from $560 some in APV up to $700 some in APV. Okay, then I started incorporating some PerioProtect or maybe some sleep therapy, or I went to that course and started treatment planning quadrant dentistry and scheduling in advance instead of tooth by tooth reacting to emergencies that came in the door. Man, I remember that was last December I went to that course. Look at what changed in my APV. And you can really see those trends over time.
Yeah, totally agree. It's so true to watch all of those. And what's really cool now, doing this as long as I have, we always knew that. But now we can actually see the data, the transparency that we have now with Dental Intel. We plug it into all of our practices that have compatible softwares. You can see all these movements. You can see them in real time, day to day. So it's pretty cool. Now, as far as rethinking it, here's an important piece of it. We want to be thinking about how this affects the overall practice. So new patients, you obviously want to be have some type of a plan to attract the right type of new patients for your practice. Then we want to recapture patients that have fallen out of the active status or fallen out completely. So, and we want to minimize lost patients that fall out of the active window. And what that gives you is net growth. And these are net patient growth. And again, here's another screenshot of Dental Intel. This is a metric that we pay very close attention to. It's net growth. So again, it's APV and net growth. And new patients do matter, but net growth matters more. So in this particular circumstance, you can see this practice has 22 new patients in a month. Their goal is 74. That should be the first one. You're like, oh gosh, why would I want 74 new patients? And as you look at this, we had 22 new patients. We recaptured 10. But we lost 56. So the net growth was 24. And maybe, Miranda, you can give some more context around what a recaptured patient is or truly what a lost patient is.
Absolutely. I love, love, love this box on the performance board. So when you look at new patients, we all know what that is. That's how many patients came in the door this month for the first time ever with those new patient appointment codes. Recaptured is when we have brought patients back into our active patient pool because they have now scheduled, but they were previously inactive due to not having been in the practice in the last 18 months. So for example, maybe the hygiene team, or excuse me, the admin team on this particular practice does a really great job of that hygiene recare follow-up system. And so they're reaching out to patients when they're past due for their visits. So maybe there's a chunk of patients that they're past 18 months since they were here last for a hygiene visit, and somebody's actively calling and reaching out and nurturing those patients. And guess what? We got 10 of them this month to come back into the schedule. And so now they're considered recaptured. They weren't active patients anymore, more than likely due to inactivity. Lost patients are those patients who we have either manually turned to archived deceased or inactive in our software, or they've simply fallen into that inactive or lost status because their last visit was more than 18 months ago. So new patients are new patients. That's pretty self-explanatory. Recaptured are those that have gone inactive or been activated, and now they are back in the practice, and we haven't seen them in at least 18 months or more. And then lost patients are those that we either manually turned to inactivated, or they went inactive simply by having been 18 months or more since they were in the practice. And then we can see that overall net growth for this practice in this particular month was negative. So while they were like super excited, maybe that they had 22 new patients, they actually had a decrease or attrition in their overall patient base versus a gain. And the other thing that Dental Intelligence does, just so you know, if you use it, is that bar graph in the upper right-hand corner. When you open it up, it'll show you the breakdown of how many were new, how many were recaptured, and then how many were marked inactive versus how many went inactive. And you can even click on that and go right into those lists and start reaching out to those patients and trying to, I say, a little win back program where you start reaching out and really trying to recapture some of those patients that are about to fall out of the leaky bucket at the bottom of the practice.
So true. So true. Another thing that this slide does not show is if your goal is 74 new patients a month, you're spending a lot of money to get them. You're either spending them in marketing dollars or you're spending them in write-offs because you participate. So it's
if this practice were not losing 24 patients a month, they might not need 74 new patients. And so this ties in that whole concept of what we said at the very beginning, which is like, we need to rethink how we think about new patients. Yeah. If we weren't losing 56 patients in this particular month, we wouldn't have a negative net growth, and we wouldn't need that many new patients to get where we need to go with our active patient count. If that was only 10 and we were in the positive, think of how many less new patients we need to spend those dollars, effort, and energy on bringing new patients in.
Totally agree. Totally agree. Now let's go to the other side of the street. And in this practice, goal is 40 new patients a month. So right now in this particular month, we've got 16 new, we recaptured 20 and lost 25. So our net growth was 11. Anything you would add about that, Miranda?
No, I mean, I think it's just a good example of, again, this they still lost patients. We're going to have some attrition. That doesn't mean we don't try to reach out to those patients or look and see who we lost. But in the end, we did have positive growth. The goal is going to be determined based on how far off is this practice from where they need or want their active patient count to be. You know, perhaps this is an active, healthy practice, but they want to add an associate. And so they've set their goal really high because they want to start bulking their active patient count. Maybe they have 14 or 1500 active patients, but they want to get to 1800 because they're bringing on another doctor. And so if their goal is to reach that level, they're going to need, say, 40 new patients a month. How easy would it be for this practice to go from 11 to perhaps 21 or 31 if they simply focused on retention and having less of those lost patients? Like if they only lost 5 instead of 25 of their active patients during this month, they're going to be at 31 and they're going to be that much closer to their goal than they are at 11. So this is why this information ties so much into why retention is so important. Yes, we need to think about new patients. But ultimately, what I love about this KPI is it actually forces us to think about retention and how are we impacting our existing patients to make sure that we're giving and doing everything we can to keep them tethered to the practice. Because just like that, we could be that much closer to that goal of 40 if we just didn't lose 20 of those that maybe we could have kept if we had had some outreach in place or pre-appointed them the last time they were in.
Totally agree. Did I hear you use the word bulking? So did you borrow that from your kids? I didn't know what bulking
was.
What
did I say?
You said bulking the new patients. So that's a kid. So I just found out what that was like a couple weeks ago.
That's because you have a football player.
Yeah. They're bulking. I'm like, oh, okay. So it means you're adding. Okay. So
Yes.
I love it. Love it. Well said, Miranda. So retaining existing patients is essential to your practice success long-term. Now, we're going to show you a little bit about how to do that or rethink that, but rethinking your patient experience is critical. Retention starts with how patients feel. So you got to get into like, we don't create teeth here. Like, we don't do that. We create long-term relationships with amazing people, and we want to make their lives just a little bit better than when they came in here every single day. Not just how well you perform clinically. Now that's important, but like it's how they feel. A great experience gives patients a reason to return and to talk about you. When patients feel value, they stay and they bring their friends. They'll say, you know, you got to go to my dentist. So we have something that's called the Creating a Six-Star Experience in the BPA. You can actually have access to this. It's a great exercise. And what I would encourage you to do, if this is tough for you guys, let's say your these metrics that we're talking about aren't great. You can actually go back in the BPA. You can watch this webinar and you can actually go through this exercise of the six-star experience. I'm going to take you through a little bit of it today and how it all works. And it becomes a great team meeting. Some of you are like, well, our team meetings are terrible. Well, don't do that anymore. You can actually just put this on and say, hey, Alex, can we watch this for a little bit and have a conversation about how it all works? Now, the first step in the six-star is the initial phone call. Number one, you've got to have some active listening. You got to fully concentrate, listen, understand and confirm what you heard with patients. I always love somebody who will listen more than they will talk in this role and who's usually really good at asking questions. Engagement's a big one too. You got to have a great tone of voice, be able to pause, not to rush people, remember patients' names, and they have to care for the most part. You got to make scheduling easy too. Now, it's not about just letting anyone in your schedule. That's not what I'm saying. But you got to be easy to do business with, not so dogmatic and things like that. But consider what questions to ask. The question is the answer. Don't get good at answers. Get really good at questions. And you can help guide these patients to the right spot. And then lastly, you can just gather information and decide what information is important to make this process seamless. Now, Miranda, you always talk about having the pad. You always had a notepad up front, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I had a new patient call sheet. I was very diligent about not tapping away in the computer and just plugging in their phone number and their insurance information. I was taking notes about what the patient was sharing with me because it's so important to know what it is that they want or need for their time with you, because now you can customize their experience or decide if maybe we're not even the right fit for you and what you want. I was actually recently listening to new patient calls with a client of mine. And when you just mentioned guiding them, what we hear often is, you know, you answer the phone, it's pleasant, it's warm, it's wonderful. The patient asks, are you taking new patients? You say, yeah, we sure are. And then there's that silence and it's like, okay, the patient's like, well, do you take my insurance? Like, they don't know where to go from there. And so they just ask the next most reasonable question to them, which is usually, do you take my insurance? Versus the word you just used, guide, which is my favorite word about talking about phone calls, is that our job is to guide the patient through the call, to guide them into the questions that help us to know what we need to know about how they fit into the practice, to guide them into the schedule, into the most appropriate way, to make sure we're sharing the expectations of what they can expect when they come in and costs and all of those things. It's so important for us to make sure that we are the ones driving the phone call and not just answering questions and then leaving that silence for the patient patient to then ask the next question. They don't know what they need to ask. They only know very simple, specific questions. And it's usually something very transactional. And what we want to really do to make sure that we're driving the phone call appropriately is to ask that really important information about what it is they're looking for in a new dental home. What are their expectations for their first visit with us? And make sure that we are, in fact, the right people to serve them. Every now and then, we're not. You know, if they tell you, I'm just looking for someone who takes my insurance so I can get my 2 free cleanings a year. Or if they end up telling you they've already been to 3 other practices and they were told that they needed to have a periodontal surgery and we're not a perio office. If they're just saying, I want to make an appointment and we just take all their information and schedule them, they're going to show up and then their expectations aren't going to be met because we're not going to be able to provide what they're looking for. So it's really important to have that piece of paper in front of you, help guide the patient through the phone call and really learn as much as you can possibly learn about them so that we can make sure they end up in the right place in our schedule or, again, make sure they're the right fit for our practice.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's really important, you know, whoever's asking the questions is controlling the conversation. Now, mm-hmm. we're not talking about like hyper control or anything, but you're guiding them by asking the questions. And what Miranda said is so true is like, you don't want the patient to take over the phone call because this could be 20, 25 minutes long and it ends up the patient doesn't even schedule. So got to be engaged, got to be curious, asking great questions. And I don't know if this has ever happened to you, Miranda, but these kids now that come to the door for the pest control things, like they're so sweet. And they're like, Ms. Mary, can I ask you a question? Sure. Do you care about your home? Yes, I care about it. Do you care about your family? I'm like, yes. Oh, gosh. And before you know it, they're asking me all these questions. Now I'm sharing a story with them. And then Sarah's like, what did you just
Kirk,
sign
they're
up
so
for?
Much better than the ones that come to my door. I had one come the other day and he literally said, hey, I was here from, you know, pest control. He said, maybe you're like your neighbors and you already have someone who's taken your care of your pest control. And I was like, you just unsold your product.
I know. I don't
so
get
your guy's
ones.
Way better than my guy. At
oh my
questions.
Gosh. When I close the door, I'm like, what a great kid. Told the kid everything about my life. I don't even know what I just signed up for. Like, that's so cool. And they're coming
it's
back.
So funny. Kirk, I want to jump into really quick two things. We have someone in please. The chat named Irma who actually shared one thing that you'll think is super cool and then has a question. So Irma shared when we were just talking about APV, a great wake-up call on how much our active patients mean to us. 1 year of collections, it's a little over $3 million. Active patients is 829. That means that $3,807.71 is our APV. We're a small practice with 10 employees, fee for service, 12 to 15 new patients a month. Most are referrals from other existing patients. Great wake-up call on how much we want to really be grateful to our existing patients. So true that we need to be able to value them. Wow. Well, that is one heck of a successful practice.
Love that.
Right there.
Thank
at
you
over
for
$3,000. And so Irma then just asked a follow-up question when we were chatting. So I feel like now's the right time to answer it. They said, can you tell us a continued conversation? So if you do say, yes, we're taking new patients, like how do you continue that and guide them versus just saying yes and waiting for the patient to ask the next question? So I say, follow it right up with a question. So if we'll just do this really quick, if a patient calls and I say, you know, thank you for calling Dr. Barron's office. This is Miranda. How may I help you today? And they say, hi, are you taking new patients? I'm going to say, oh yes, we're absolutely taking new patients. I'm so glad you called. Like I said, my name's Miranda. What's your name? And I'm going to get their name. I'm going to write it on my little notepad or my piece of paper. And then I'm going to say, you know, Kirk, thank you so much for calling. What's going to be the most important thing that you're looking for in finding a new dental practice? Because right then and there, it's not a yes or a no. And I'm going to learn a little something. It might be as simple as, I know it's been a while and I need a hygiene visit. It might be, I woke up last night and my tooth is throbbing and I need someone to take a look at it ASAP. We're going to learn a little bit about why is Kirk calling for a new patient visit instead of leaning right into them just asking those basic questions that honestly might not be the most important thing to them, but it's just all they know to ask.
Yeah, that is so good. If you guys are listening to this, that's why she's one of the best in the world at verbal skills. What do you guys think of this?
World.
I actually want to create some type of Jeopardy. Like, no, I want to create a show called Let's
you keep
Miranda.
Saying you're going to do a Let's,
I know,
let's Stuff like, Miranda, and I'm just waiting for the invitation.
So, Irma, I want you guys all, like, give us your hardest stuff, and let's try to you know, get catch Miranda off, like not being on her toes. That would be so much fun. Like get the craziest stuff. It's so good to hear you say that. Now, if you're thinking about that, think about it for a second. If you had somebody like Miranda at the front answering the phone, they were engaged. They're going to turn a lot of these calls that you would normally think not very valuable into hugely valuable advocates for your practice. They're probably going to come in your chair and sit in there and go, she's good. You should give her a raise. You know, and that's another thing. If you're not getting regular compliments, that is not your team member's fault. That's your fault. You should be, you know, cultivating an environment where people want to get better. They want to learn about this and they want to get better at their verbal skills. And in essence, it'll make them better and your practice better. I could go on that forever, but I won't.
But we can't.
We can't. We don't have time to do that. I wish this was a 4-hour webinar because I have a lot of thoughts. All right. Initial phone call. You're setting the tone for everything that follows. My hope is that call's so good. They think, man, they're probably super expensive, but I got to go. You know what I mean? You never want anybody to think you're cheap. They're like, they're good. And are you warm, confident, and helpful? Or are you rushed and transactional? I can feel that. I can see that. I start to build a picture of what your practice looks like. If you're timid, not helpful, and you're just rushing me along. And patients decide if you're the right fit before they ever walk through the doors. Totally agree. So if you just heard what Miranda said, if you're a patient, you're like, okay, this is my dental home. This is going to be my dental home, unless it's crazy expensive type of a thing. But you're also learning about the patient in that respect. Now, the day of the visit, patients start evaluating the experience from the moment they enter your parking lot. And so that's something that teams miss all the time. You want to greet them personally and timely. You know, just don't tell them to have a seat. Have a seat. I'll be with you in a second. I see that all the time. I think one of the greatest things you can do is just do an exercise where you actually walk through the steps of what your patients experience. Take a look at the sidewalk. Take a look at everything because you don't notice any of that. Your patients do. And they start to make a judgment from the second they get out of their car. So then you want to be able to focus on the first handoff. So we got the phone call, the first visit, and then the first handoff. We like to refer to them as elegant handoffs. They're done really well. Call them by their preferred name. You're going to learn that on the phone call. You can provide a tour on the way back to the operatory. Studies show that when people are given a tour, they're more relaxed. They're more likely to like you, you know? And
Kirk, I work with a practice in Michigan, and I was just visiting with them, and I was in their office the day before our planning meeting, and I said, I think this picture is new. And there was this really awesome portrait photo framed on the wall right when you head back towards the operatories. And it was of all four doctors. And I was like, I don't remember this being here before. And they're like, no, we actually added that. And they said, it's our first stop on our tour. When we go to walk the patient back to the operatory, we kind of stop here, we pause and we say, hey, I know it's your first visit with us. This is, you know, Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so and Dr. So-and-so. And you're going to probably meet them while you're here today or at some point. And, you know, yeah. Then you just head on back. But it's that first introduction right when you walk back on the tour to start acclimating the patient to who we are and what we're all about. I thought it was a really great idea on their part to build that right into the front of the tour. It's like right there, front and center. Great picture. Everybody looks warm and welcoming, and it's their first stop on the way back.
I love that. I'm so glad you shared that. Now, I could spend an entire hour on this. I'll just tell you a short list of it. One of my favorite practices of all time, they rehearse this all the time. Like they had it down. And the person who gave the tour would say, do you mind if I give you a tour? You know, because we're so excited to have you here. You're going to meet a lot of people. You're going to meet our doctor today. And she would always say this, but the most important thing to us is to know what's important to you. So come on back. And in the morning huddle, she would call out, I've got a new patient. Her name is Miranda. She's going to be coming by at about 10:05. I want you guys to all say hi if you can. So it was really cool. A lot of time hygienists don't even look up. They don't even care, whatever. But if you're, you know, if you're to pray, what you do screams you care or you don't care. You want everybody to be locked in on I care. And she would even do indirect and direct chair time, which I thought was pretty wild. She would go into the lab and it was clean. Very rarely do you ever see a dental lab that's clean. And she would say, this is where our doctor does indirect chair time. Mm-hmm. You're going to notice there's direct chair time, and direct chair time is when you see the doctor, but you're going to see that our doctor spends a lot of time studying how bites come together. Like, we're going to be so well prepared for each one of our visits with you. And that's where he studies all of this information on, and she would explain what an articulator was. It was really cool. You can go as far as you want, but as you can see, you're starting to build value for that. If any of you have been to the restaurant Excalibur in New Orleans, you know that it enters through the kitchen. So you walk in and the first thing is you're on the line, which is pretty cool. And they describe how they prepare things and how they, you know, order their food and how they care about things. By the time the bill comes, you're like, I don't care what it costs. Like, there's so much value behind what they do. It's powerful. Number four, we're going to put him in the chair. Number one, be on time. You can actually build an entire practice just by being on time. It's amazing how poorly people do this in the world. Ask open-ended questions, build rapport, have everybody be engaged. You know, engagement is a big deal. And it's not just about their treatment. It's about how you deliver it. You know, what's the care that goes in the chair? And, you know, after we've completed care, talked about care, or just had a conversation about anything, the patient's going to leave your office. Remember, you want to get good at the hellos and the goodbyes, not just the hellos. And patients are going to exit. You know, personalize the critical things that need to happen before the patient leaves. And Miranda, I want you to talk about this because patients hear a lot and their retention isn't the greatest. So why do we want to personalize the critical things?
Well, when you personalize the conversation that you're having with the patient and tie it directly to them or to them and their provider, or what is it about what we're going to do at your next visit that really matters to you? If they're even remotely on the fence, they're going to be more bought in and more confident in what the next step is. So when you're doing things like scheduling their next visit, we're not just penciling them in here and there. We're reserving time with whatever that provider may be, because we know there's this area or that area that you all looked at today, or we know that you like to prevent an emergency patient. And so when we see you every 3 months, we know we're more likely to do that for you. And how can we use words and language and tie in their goals and motivations so that they feel as if it's not like we're just going to schedule you at 6 months because that's the next time that you're due and that's what we do here. No, we're scheduling you at 3 months because of this reason that you shared with us that really matters, and really personalizing that. And then ask them, do they want an appointment card or would they prefer an electronic reminder? Like, asking people very simple things like that. I don't want you to hand me your appointment card. I'm going to have to go find a trash can and throw it away because I'm not going to keep it or I'm going to lose it. So just simple things like, hey, I can write you an appointment card, but I do remember last time that you told me you prefer text messages for your reminders. Is that still the, you know, correct? Or would you like me to write you a card? Just those little tiny personalizations and things that maybe you made a note about it. You didn't actually remember what every single patient wants from visit to visit, but anytime you can make it feel personal or customizable, it's great. And I love this next point, which is just patients remember those last few minutes really vividly. So no matter what happened throughout the appointment, you guys could have been cutting up, having the best time connecting at the front of the appointment. If they have a negative experience on the way out the door, that's what they're going to remember. And that's the feeling they're going to leave with. So we really have to make sure we put just as much emphasis on that final handoff and the patient exit and the goodbye and how we wrap everything up as we do when they walk through the door and we greet them and celebrate them being there.
Yeah, it's so important you said that, because there's so much emphasis on the front end, but a lot of offices skip this piece. They're like, we got that nailed. And I'm just here to say, like, the more you do up front, the less you have to do later. Cancellations kill your practice. People don't cancel on their friends. So you really want to make sure that we do this really, really well, so it minimizes the challenges that could possibly happen later in the process. Now, there's a couple systems we're going to ask you to evaluate. There's actually four once the patient leaves. Number one, it's unscheduled treatment follow-up. Can you talk about this one, Miranda?
Yeah, it's just really important to make sure that when that patient leaves, like we are the person who's responsible for making sure we maintain that connection. I'm the world's worst at follow-through as a patient, I'm not gonna lie. So I really rely on my dental practice, my medical practice to reach out to me sometimes multiple times to follow up and say, hey, we never took care of that. Do you want to schedule that appointment now? So if a patient leaves and they weren't able to schedule their treatment or didn't for some reason or another, we have made a valiant effort to record why, schedule a follow-up. We make sure we reach back out to them in regards to that unscheduled treatment follow-up. And the same thing applies for these other systems. And if you want to go ahead and just plunk them up there. So hygiene recare, we want to make sure that not just when there's a hole in the schedule, we're working these systems. Like these systems aren't intended to just fill a short notice cancellation. They're regular maintenance on the practice. They're daily and weekly processes that are part of our checklists that we follow to make sure we're making these connections on a regular basis. So if they forgot or couldn't schedule treatment, we are following up on a regular basis to help them make sure they get what they need. If they weren't able to schedule their hygiene recare visit, or perhaps they had to cancel and for whatever reason they couldn't reschedule in that moment, we're going to be doing a hygiene recare follow-up system maintenance program in the practice on a daily, weekly basis. I love a reactivation, or sometimes you'll call it patients going inactive system. We talked about this at the beginning of the webinar when we were talking about lost patients. But having somebody who runs a report every month of all of the patients that are about to hit that 18-month mark, and they're going to be considered inactive. And let's see what we can do to reach out to those patients. Now, you can have a hygiene recare follow-up that serves everyone who's due now without an appointment, 3 to 6 months without an appointment, 6 to 9, yada, yada. And you can do the same thing with a reactivation system. You can run lists from your practice management software that are people that are at 18 months to 20 months since they've had their last visit. You just run it by date of last visit, maybe 20 months to 24 months. And obviously, the further out it goes, the less likelihood these people are going to be reinstated in your practice. But if you can catch them, especially right when they're about to go inactive, and keep them instead tethered into the practice, that net growth number that we talked about earlier is going to be so much healthier for your practice because your lost patient number is going to be smaller. And then the last one that a lot of times practices overlook is our unscheduled new patient follow-up system. Ideally, we're scheduling as many of our new patients as possible before they leave for a hygiene visit, and sometimes we don't. And so having a system where, again, once a month, and if you have Dental Intel, it's super easy. You just click on that number in the middle of the square that showed how many new patients you had, and it's going to pull up a list of those patients, and it's going to show you if they're scheduled or not for a next visit. And then you just have somebody on your team that owns reaching out to those new patients that didn't schedule a next visit, and we do our very best to re-engage them into the practice. So these are some pretty key follow-up systems that are really just maintenance, patient maintenance that your admin team can build into their daily and weekly checklists.
Yeah, so well said. So well said. So a couple final points on how we rethink retention. You have to have somebody own the follow-up process. You heard Miranda say that when we always say internally, when no one owns it or everybody owns it, no one owns it. There has to be a champion, somebody who understands this is my responsibility and I own this process in the practice.
Well, and Kirk, just to share, in case there's team members, or if you're a dentist and you're going to share this with your team members, owning it doesn't mean you're the only person that does it. If you own the hygiene recare system, you have documented what that system is. Maybe you're the one pulling and running the reports or making sure that things are being documented properly. And yeah, you probably call on those lists. But that doesn't mean that if your hygienist has a cancellation and their notes are caught up, that they can't come and sit down and help call on that hygiene recare follow-up system as well. Or you have a doctor out, and so you have two assistants for 3 days who don't have a doctor to serve, but they still want and need to work. Great. They can help with that unscheduled treatment follow-up system list. Just because you own it doesn't mean you have to be the only one who does it.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying that, because that's one that requires a lot of clarity on that. Also, the follow-ups, you know this, are they proactive or reactive? A lot of times, most times, they're reactive. Like, we got to get somebody in here. So it's a poor system. You're grabbing mud from the bottom of the river and you're just throwing it in the schedule. Don't do that. That's why if you use this framework correctly, you're always going to be proactively improving these processes, reaching out, finding the good patients and putting them in your practice. And it's going to save so much time and energy later on. And you can't let these patients fall through the cracks if they don't schedule. That's where this becomes so important. It's so hard to get these good patients. You want to have the systems tightened up so we keep them, so they don't go to another practice. So a couple other points. We want to add value after the visit. And how you can do that is you can send post-visit follow-ups with oral health tips related to their treatment. You know, it's really cool when you work with a really great healthcare provider and they're like, I'm going to send you a bunch of information. And they actually do it. You know, my son had a doctor appointment on Monday and the doctor said, my assistant is going to call you and schedule. As soon as he hung up, she called. It was like, oh my gosh, these people, they do what they say they're going to do and you can tell they care. You can share quick videos or FAQs answered in text and email. You could actually do your own videos. So if you're wondering like what marketing can we do? You should create your own YouTube channel with your own videos describing your own procedures in your own practice, which creates even more value for the provider in the office. Don't send them somebody else's videos. You can, but like do your own videos. People always wonder like, what should I be doing? Do that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And you can reinforce the personal relationship way beyond the transaction. And there's so many ways you can do that. And again, you want to be just thinking as a team, like thoughtful touches. How do we keep these people top of mind? You can celebrate milestones. If you have 1,500 patients, they all have birthdays in a year. Like get good at celebrating birthdays, weddings, babies, graduations. I'll never forget as long as I live. When I was in high school, I had a dentist who would send me clippings of like things that I did. He's like, I'm so proud of you. I'm like, oh, it's Dr. Cooper. I'm like, I love Dr. Cooper. You can use the morning huddle time to fill out cards together. In your morning huddles, they should not be about production. It's really about patient care. And it's more than just their clinical care. You should be thinking about how we care for these relationships. You know, and that's where you could have a point person saying, okay, Mrs. Finelli, she had blah, blah, blah. She's coming in today. You know, it's awesome.
We used to have Amber in our practice who had a big old box of assorted different types of cards. And almost every day there was one or two cards that were going to be going out and she'd have little stickers on them and all that stuff. And the team would sign them, you know, at morning huddle, it would be like, hey, at some point today, I need you guys to sign these. So-and-so's cat passed away and she doesn't have kids and it was her baby. And so we want to make sure we let her know we care. And oh, by the way, it's Joey's birthday. So we're sending him a birthday card and the whole team would sign it. At some point throughout that day, we always left it in a space that was a general space where everyone could see it and be remembered. And then Amber did her thing. She owned sending out these cards, but she loved spreading joy. So it was something that fulfilled her to know that she was making someone's day in some way. And it also really served the practice in a positive way to make sure that we were building those personal connections with patients.
Love that. Everybody needs an Amber. That's for
yes.
sure. Yeah. You can also send newsletters, you know, seasonal updates or helpful tips, just aligned with your brand. You know, things that you're doing. If you do a lot of education on behalf of your patients, what a great way to keep your patients informed on all that stuff. And we got a few final takeaways and then we'll answer questions. But the point of this is retention doesn't happen by accident. What we're going to encourage you to do is be proactive. Do it with intention. If it's built through consistent connection, clear communication, and intentional follow through, you're going to build the type of practice you always dreamed of. And it's going to stay that way. And when you stop thinking of retention as a task, I know it sounds like a lot of work. You're like, I already have enough work to do. No, this is an essential system. We have to build a retention system and we've got to improve it over and over. And you start viewing it as a relationship. Everything changes. Patients feel seen, they feel supported, they feel valued. And not only they're going to return, but they're going to refer others too. Trust is the currency of your future. And that's how you do it. And it's not about having the perfect script or system. It's just about showing up with care. Remember, what you do either screams you care or don't care. So build the system that screams we care every single time. Now you might be thinking, well, this is a lot to think about. We got a lot of tools back here. We are building the BPA with more and more tools to support the independent practice every single week. So if you go back there, you're going to see it's constantly changing. There's a great chat back there. People are asking questions like, today. Here's what I need, the best health history form. Like, it's so cool because the entire community comes to help. Like, if you're looking for the best health history form of all time, you'll see it back there. Now, everybody's got a debate around which one's the best. That's fine. But you, nonetheless, you're going to get the support that you need. And then lastly, I mentioned this at the beginning. If you're looking for an opportunity to join us in a group, the To the Top Study Club is amazing. I promise you, you will love it. Our next one is on October 17th and 24th. It's here in Milwaukee. They're small, intimate groups. We lead them. You're going to meet other people doing this work. And you can come for free if you're not a member. We have something called a golden ticket. Yes. All you have to do is show up. We'll feed you, take care of you, educate you, inspire you. All you got to do is just show up. Like, that's the easy part. We got the hard part. So I encourage you to take care of the golden ticket. You can try it. If you don't like it, you don't have to stay. I know that won't happen, but come check it out. And we'd love to have you as our guest. So Miranda, awesome job today. We have any questions?
We do have a couple of questions. And I was going to share my little takeaway is kind of what Irma said earlier, is show your gratitude. Like when you take a look at that annual patient value, whether it's $600, $300 or $3,000, congratulations. It's so important to make sure our patients know how much they matter to us and that we're grateful that they're there. Because, hey, I tell team members all the time, your doctor doesn't pay your salary, the patients do. And if the patients aren't there, then none of us are going to be here tomorrow. So we want to make sure we show a lot of gratitude. And I think it's really easy to just say that to our patients. Thank you so much for trusting in me. Thank you so much for trusting in our process. Thanks so much for being here today. Thank you so much for sending your family our way. Like, it means so much that you trust in us to take care of them. So I think gratitude goes a long way. We have a couple of questions. So one of them was a question about APV, and it was around fee for service or high PPO participation. And so asking, does that APV change based on if you're a fee for service practice or a high PPO practice? And that's that business model concept that Kirk was sharing earlier in the webinar around low profit, high volume. When you are contracted with a lot of PPOs, you're going to have more than likely a much lower fee schedule. So you can charge only but so much to a patient for specific procedures. And so yes, your APV or annual patient value is likely going to be lower. If you participate in a lot of them, it's probably going to be under 600. If you participate in a few of them, you're probably going to be somewhere between 5 and maybe 800. And when you do start to venture into that, maybe just one or fee for service, you're going to be at 800 or above. Just like we had in that example, I don't think I've seen someone at over 3,000, so I am very impressed, and I'm sure that's a comprehensive practice. But even $1,100, $1,200 a patient, that's not unheard of in that high profit, low volume practice. You don't need as many patients. You're just doing more dentistry on less patients when you're in that fee-for-service model. And so it kind of ties in with the other question that we have, which is around kind of specifics for goal setting. So this particular person asked, you know, what's the average new patient goal for an office that has 3 dentists and 5 to 6 hygienists? Well, there is no answer to that question. Right. What you would have to do is look at your particular practice and know how, you know, what do we need? So you have 3 dentists. If they're full-time, you can say we need 12 to 1500 patients per dentist. So if we know where we are with our active patient count, we know APV, how much per patient is the production coming into the practice. Now we can look at what those goals are and say, okay, well, if our goal is to make $6 million and we have this many patients, we need our APV to be about here in order to get that. If we're not there, we have a couple of options. We can bring in more patients to get to where we need to go, or we can find a way with the same number of patients that we have to raise our annual patient value. How can we have more dentistry on the patients that we already have? Not just for the sake of finding dentistry that's not warranted, but is there a way for us to introduce services again, like aligners or perioprotect or some of these adjunct things that aren't going to be written off by insurance that still help support the health wants and needs of our patients, but can help us raise that APV. So there is no blanket answer to, hey, my practice is this size, how many new patients do I actually need per month? You have to look at the specifics of your practice. Do you have anything to layer onto that, Kirk?
I love that question. And I would say this, I would absolutely agree with what you said 1000%, but I would say this, You do have to have a number. So whatever, however you get to that number, it's got to be a combination of all the things that Miranda mentioned. And I've got 50 stories and not enough time to tell them. But one of my favorite stories is John Cranham. He would help me understand new patients. He's like, listen, my style of practice, I only work 14 days a month. I need to be having one conversation per day, meaning a consult one per day, meaning I need to do one comprehensive exam per day, and then having a, you know, a review of findings, knowing full well that only 50% of people are going to say yes to the dentistry. And that gave him some type of a system that was simple. And I remember his chief chairside assistant, when her number one job was to prepare the case that he was going to be looking at the next morning, because he worked 7 to 3. So he'd come in at 6:30 and he would be looking at a case that he would present the findings and the treatment that first patient of the morning. So I'm not asking you to do that. But what I am saying is he knew exactly the number of new patients he needed to see. And a lot of this is based on acceptance and other things in style of practice. But my answer is, you know, you need a number. But Miranda, I know you have to jump off. I'm going to let you go. And I can't thank you enough. I am so grateful.
I did put the CE in the chat, by the way. So anybody that's looking for the CE, go to the chat. It is there. And the final question that's been in the chat a couple of times is, will this be recorded? Yes. And you can always find it in the BPA. And the CE is also always linked to the recording post in the BPA. So if you didn't get to see all of it, or you have some team members that want to watch, you can go back and watch the recording, and the CE link is available right there in the description of the event recording. Kirk, yeah. You did great today.
Well, you set that up. You made that great. So Miranda's
Jenna,
the magic.
Jenna did tell me that I was glowing today, but also she didn't want to leave you out and wanted you to know that you always make her smile with your amazing energy and simple takeaways.
Awesome. Well, we'll just end on that note. Jenna, thank you so much for your kind comments. Thank you guys for showing up. The conversation continues, as always, back in the BPA. So join us where you'll find out more. Better practice, better life. So thank you guys. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Hope everybody has a great day. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye.
So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it, so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.